Welcome to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I'm Katherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. New King James Version. Man, even reading that, what's the song that says that is the last part of that verse?
Weeping. I don't want to sing it. I'm not good for that.
I know which one you're talking about.
Y'all don't want to hear me sing? Yes, I know, but I'm not singing it right now.
Okay, give me the name of it.
I don't know
joy
the name of it.
Comes in the morning. I'm not going to sing.
Yeah, no, do you see what I mean? You have to sing the whole
there.
Thing. It is.
It's, oh, and
lots of songs are made out of the Psalms.
Oh, yeah. It makes me, I just want to sing it the last, every time I read the last part of this, but let's go back to the full story of this psalm.
Let me pick out the one part that I really love about this verse at the moment is his favor is for life.
Yeah.
Don't That's forget beautiful. That. Don't forget it. You have favor. He favors you.
He loves us, and that's for a lifetime, whereas the anger is momentary, which I feel like sometimes we get stuck thinking that God is angry at us if we do something stupid, like David does. David does lots of things. I'll say it, stupid.
And I love that these people who God loves and shows throughout the Bible are these messy humans.
Yeah, they make lots of mistakes.
Yeah, it's so funny because I guess learning about it in Sunday school and growing up, all you remember is like their big things that they did right.
But they were great. And
yeah. These like superstars things. Of the Bible, but if you go back and read these superstars, you see as an adult, their humanity is all over the place and all the details that they didn't give you in Sunday school, they're in there and they will tell you stuff like this chapter in Psalm where David even knows what he did in this chapter.
What did David do again in this particular one we're talking about?
He, in verse 6, right after the verse that we had just read, David writes that he was enjoying a time of prosperity and he goes, quote, I shall never be moved. Are you serious? right after, he regretted saying that almost instantly. You keep reading in the chapter, he regretted saying that. And not long after he made this outrageous statement of nothing's ever going to happen to me, sure enough, guess what happens to David? He gets sick. Guess who else gets sick? Almost the entire, whole body of Jerusalem at the time.
Everybody went down. I'm sure they were pleased with him.
I'm sure some of them probably didn't know, or some of them were like, wait a second, everyone's ill. What did David do?
And that is, God's anger is
sometimes
righteous.
Anger is righteous, yes.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. It's a righteous anger. And David shouldn't have been spouting off of the mouth.
Right.
Everyone didn't stay sick. You
know, no,
they didn't die for it.
They didn't.
God did not stay in his anger for 1,000 years.
And at the end of the chapter, David's enjoying that. He's praising God for coming through and healing them.
And his favor, God's favor is for life. God restored it.
There are consequences. It's kind of going back to even teaching kids, it's like, hey, we're going to show you some consequences when you're young. Because guess what? When you're older and make some really stupid decisions, because you're going to, things are still going to happen. Now, is God always going to take us out for everything that we do wrong? No, because we'd all be dead. But here it says his anger is a moment, but his favor is for life. So yes, we're going to mess up. Yes, you're going to have some consequences to those grown-up bad choices. But your favor is forever.
Yeah. And the weeping, it's equated to refining us. There are some times that we do things, we need to repent, we'll cry about it, whatever, do all the things to make sure that our hearts have learned the lesson to not be arrogant or boastful.
Yeah, God doesn't want his people to have attitudes that aren't righteous or in line with
Scripture.
With him.
Yeah, we need to be kind. Yeah, being boastful and
arrogant and like
all of those things.
Which I know we've never been. I mean, and you guys have never been like that, right? I mean,
never, ever.
Surely if you say something's not going to happen or you're not going to be like that or you don't really get stuff and you kind of are like,
I feel like I have had maybe more refinement by fire than the average
me bear. Too. I think we both completely relate in this department. We're like, how many times have you had to learn something because of your
all right. Jennifer, you need to like woman up here. This is not how you should be acting.
Oh no. Yeah, I feel like I've been on that learning journey for a long time now. Like, why haven't I gotten it yet?
Thankfully, God's joy comes in the morning. It really does come. His joy is a gift. And I feel like that this verse kind of comes full circle. It shows you, all right, you do something stupid, you can anger God, but he still loves you and favors you. You may cry and be refined, but the joy will come.
And you'll be a better person at the end of it.
Exactly.
God intends to work on our hearts and have us be the best beautiful version. And I think somewhere in there, we all want to be that person too. We just don't necessarily want to learn the lesson the hard way where there's consequences.
Sometimes it's easier to let our emotions be the best of us or try to get into some like hot political debate, even though that's not what God wants us to be doing. And, you know, sometimes we're human and we fall into these traps. And I just think, thank you, God, that you are slow to anger.
Oh, yes.
Because he doesn't pull us up short every time.
Well, even in the New Testament, we're supposed to look like that too. Mm-hmm. They say be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Yeah. Well, why are we supposed to be slow to become angry? Because God's slow to become angry. Does he become angry? Yes. But it takes him a while to get there. He's gracious and merciful and long-suffering with us. But he also does experience some anger, like,
and always his anger is righteous anger, though. Yeah. Like, there's only the Bible is very clear that you're not to be angry over social media, like some of the stuff that people start massive hate wars on is just not a righteous anger that it's we're not. Supposed to be wasting our energy on.
But yes, I love how God is slow to anger and swift to end our suffering. He doesn't want to see us suffer. He wants the good for us. He wants us to be refined and come out of it. He wants us to recognize what we've done wrong and learn something from it. And a lot of times we don't learn if we haven't experienced something.
Yeah, and even think of our kids. They won't learn manners unless they're pulled up short and told you don't treat people like this.
One more thing to point out about the swiftness of God's anger is right at the beginning of our verse. It says, for his anger is but for a moment. So they're comparing God's anger to a moment, which is just a tiny sliver of time, and then as the exact opposite, his favor for life. Yeah. So even if you are in a season of some discipline, of some consequences to bad choices, know that there is an end to that as well, because there is favor.
Yeah.
There's favor on your life. There will be something good that comes out of even your mistakes.
Do you have any good stories for us about being high on the horse?
Oh, I have so many. but which one do I want to actually tell you guys about? The latest one was fairly entertaining, looking back on it. I really enjoy the sport of shooting. So, shooting targets, obviously. Some people love to hunt. I really don't want to hunt. I like shooting a target. Sit still. I can get good at it. I can be proud of myself. Be like, look what I did. Feels very powerful too.
I like skeet shooting. Have you ever done that?
No.
So much fun.
Maybe we should try that sometime. Yeah. So next time we'll do a podcast and go skeet shooting. That sounds like a good time. So I decided I wanted to carry in the last couple years. So I wanted to get really good enough to pass a test so I could carry a gun. And I thought, I'm the least threatening looking person to carry a gun. Like, even, you know, I had a neighbor girlfriend.
Pretty little blonde girl carrying a gun.
I wasn't thinking of myself quite like that. But I was thinking of little blonde girl with a gun is probably the least stereotypical, terrifying situation of who might be a gun owner. So here I am. I work hard to pass the test and get my permit. And I just thought to myself, oh, I will never have to be worried about being somebody who's got a gun on me. Like, I'm not going to scare anybody with this. I couldn't even scare a cop. I really thought I would never be able to even scare police. So sure enough, I go out in my Ruger shirt in the summer, got the gun in my purse, and pull out of the neighborhood. I've got my girl's in the back. I've got a friend's kid in the back taking her home. All of a sudden, I pass a police going the opposite way. They do a U-turn, flip on the lights. And I'm looking in my rearview mirror like, surely they just got a call and I need to get out of the way. Nope. I pull over. They're right behind me, pulling me over. And I'm thinking, I didn't even speed. I used my blinker. I stopped at the stop sign. I've done nothing wrong. Sure enough, the lady comes up and I put the window down. And I remember from my class, I was like, okay, get the gun out of your bag. Stick it in the place between the two seats. So I shove it in there real quick because if you need to get your license, yeah, they don't want you grabbing it in the bag. They think there's a gun in it. And they tell you to tell them you have a weapon. Yes. So I put the window down, hands on the wheel, look at the lady, and I'm like, hey. And she's like asking me all these questions about, did you just leave your neighborhood? My specific neighborhood. I was like, yes, I just left there. And is this your vehicle? Yes, this is my vehicle. I mean, she hadn't run my tag. She hadn't run anything. She was like, and I told her, oh, I need you to know. I says, oh, I interrupted her. I was like, I'm sorry. I need you to know I do have a gun on me. But it's in my glove box. And she's like, you have a weapon? I was like, yeah. She goes, okay, she's like, keep your hands there, don't move. And she's radioing about, yeah, there's just, this suspect has a weapon. I was like, now I'm a suspect? She's like, your vehicle matches a description of a domestic that we just got. It came from a neighborhood that there was the domestic in. Oof. And the suspect has a weapon. And I'm sitting here thinking, don't you even know if the suspect's a man or a woman? Like, and I guess it doesn't even really matter. She doesn't know enough information. No. And she's over there like nervous as a cat. And I'm sitting here now at this point, I'm like, oh crap. She's like, don't move. And I'm like, I'm not moving. The kids in the back seat are like, what's going on? And I'm just like, oh no. So she was scared. Yeah. She didn't know if I was that person that was involved in the domestic with the weapon. She didn't know. And here I am thinking, I'm sitting there realizing what's happening in this moment. I'm like, and I said I could never scare a cop. And here I am scaring a cop. And note taken, lesson learned, because my anxiety shot up. And, mm-hmm, you know, I'm like trying not to panic and making her be any more panicky if I seem panicky. And again, I'm wearing a gun shirt at the same time. Like, none of this is exactly what I expected to have happen, but I had this attitude that, yeah, oh me, oh I couldn't scare anybody, oh this couldn't happen to me. Like, I feel bad for people who are more stereotyped and get, you know, because I wouldn't understand that world. But granted, maybe it wasn't a stereotype situation, but still, I did scare somebody and I didn't think I could do that. So anyway, that was me having a weird attitude and God correcting me. It was gentle. Yeah. That one was nice. It lasted quick. It was very quick. It was very momentary, although some of the lessons I've had to learn are not so momentary.
Yes.
Like, oh, hey, have this for a few months, years. You're like, oh, no. But it only lasts for a time, so that's the nice part.
Yes, that is definitely a nice part of it. Yeah, that poor cop must have been terrified.
And she was. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, no.
So our challenge this week is really looking inside ourselves and seeing if you have an attitude toward someone or something that does not align with scripture that needs to be refined.
I'm sure we all have quite a few things that we could introspectively find. Yes. So we're so glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing and catch all our new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us. Have a wonderful week.